basketball has always been part of my life in addition to coaching. It's why I was so 3 years ago when I first came here and I learned that we had a basketball program, I was so willing to jump on board. And I've done stuff like courtside connection with Beth. I've coached. I've done commissioner stuff. And I love basketball. Basketball is a huge part of my life from a little kid. Just like many of these players up here, I started as young as I could remember. I think I have some pictures up there of me playing. I think these are about second, third grade, fourth grade, if I'm not mistaken. But I asked my parents to dig up the old DVDs with pictures on them. And of course, as many of you know, many of us don't have DVD players. So it's quite a hassle to get them from those DVDs to on the screen. But basketball has been a huge part of my life and continues to be a huge part of my life. And whether it be me coaching these kids or yelling at them, yelling for them, and I tend to push. I'm a very competitive person if you get to know me or not. But I tend to push these kids because I know that the kids on our teams are so much more capable than sometimes we expect. We like to put on these hindrances on because they're kids, because they're young. But I know these kids can do a whole lot more than sometimes what we expect. And I think basketball is one of the most perfect avenues for that. Basketball applies to life in so many ways. There's a team. You don't go at this life alone. And you have to play together. Like Coach Bradley was saying, we all have strengths and we all have weaknesses. And we play with those who make up for our weaknesses because their strengths complement ours. And then when we work together, we can succeed in our goal. Whether that goal to be run the play box, as you've heard Coach Bradley and I yell a bajillion times. And at the beginning of the season, they had no idea what the play was. But this past Saturday, we ran the play box successfully on numerous occasions, and I couldn't be more proud. I don't care about the score or what that looks like, but those moments when the play comes together, the plan comes together, I think it's truly beautiful. And that's what I love about basketball. There's complete chaos at some levels, and some plays you just kind of shake your head. As we had just worked on practice, we just tried hard to drill a skill set into these kids, and it doesn't work. And we as adults are in the same vein where we get drilled on how to do something, and it doesn't click for us. But there's something beautiful when we take a plan, we practice it, and then we can execute it perfectly, or as perfect as we can. And I think basketball is like that. If you enjoy watching basketball, seeing the fluid motion of passing, making an extra pass, or really any sport, I think it's something beautiful to watch. And it's not just one person playing one-on-one, but rather it's a team of five working together in different positions and skill sets to be able to provide a goal of ultimately winning, but on a smaller level, running a play correctly. Setting a pick or a screen for a teammate so that not necessarily you get the glory in scoring a basket, but they do and you've helped them along the way. And I think life is a lot like that. It takes teamwork to ultimately achieve a goal. I stand before you today not because of anything that I've done on my own, but numerous people working together, giving me skill sets and teaching me things throughout life, whether it be my parents or grandparents or elementary school teachers or middle school teachers or mentors or professors in college, and then a board and a staff in Baker City to take a chance on a 22-year-old kid who's never pastored before. It takes a team to work together. And then you see in these pictures, there's passing, there's all types of skill sets shown, whether it be dribbling, shooting, playing defense, and some of it is more glorious than others. Playing defense doesn't get on the stat sheet in big games and sometimes cannot be glorified, but I love when a kid hits the floor diving for a ball. I love when a kid plays perfectly good defense because I know how important that is to team. And sometimes we have skill sets and things that are not demonstrated in the same way as others. Some of us are musically talented, whether it be Henry playing the clarinet. I could never do that. Please don't ask me to. I do not have that skill set. Nor do you want me on the platform during worship. But rather, God calls us all together as one because he realizes he purposely did not give us gifts and talents to copy one another, but rather to work together. Some of us aren't as tall as the never misses shots, but that doesn't mean we don't have value on the court or in life. It means we have a different skill set. It means that we can be the small pest that makes people, that steals the ball, or we can play good defense, or we can out-rebound the tallest people. And then basketball is truly beautiful in that. And I think kids and youth ministry is the same. Many times have I been asked, well, youth ministry is just a stepping stone, but I like to correct people that youth ministry is so important. That some of the hardest years of my personal life was middle school and high school, and I realized that they need help in that. I had mentors and people to guide me along my way, and so why shouldn't I do the same? Now, I'm not into kids ministry. I'm so glad to have Miss Deidre and those that help her in that, because I couldn't do what she could do. I can coach for an hour on Thursday nights. I can coach for an hour on Saturday, but I'm not lying to all and all you kids. I could not be your Sunday school teacher. You would drive me insane. I love you all, but I much rather, when you talk back to me, tell you to go run laps, because that is a whole lot easier. And my team will tell you that they ran a lot of laps. We would start off our day running laps. If there was misbehaving, you run a lap. If your teammate made a free throw, they got to watch you run more laps. And that's all well and good, but my skill set is more in youth. I can shoot a look across the room, and they can know exactly what I mean, and they can stop their behavior. Or they choose to defy me sometimes, and that's another conversation. But it's a lot easier for me to throw a dodgeball at you than arts and crafts. I'm not crafty in whatever. I cannot color. If I can draw a good stick man, that looks pretty good to me. But I understand the importance of children's ministry, and I understand the importance that God calls us to that. We see in Mark, Matthew, Luke, and John about how important children are to us. Not only us as family units, because we get to pour our lives into them as grandparents, aunts, uncles, parents, and influencers in their lives. And it doesn't just stop at 8. My mom likes to remind me each and every time we talk that I will always be her kid. I will always be her baby or her child, and she will always worry about me, even though I tell her not to. She doesn't listen. She must have got that from me, because I didn't always listen to her. But we see in Mark 10, 13 through 16, these children come to Jesus. It was custom at the time for children to go to rabbis and teachers to get blessed. And we see the children treat Jesus the same here. People are bringing little children to Jesus for him to place his hands on them, but the disciples rebuke them. The disciples look down on the children in this moment. When Jesus saw this, though, he was upset. He said to them, "Let the children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Truly, I tell you, for anyone not to receive the kingdom of God is like a child, will never enter it." He took the children in his arm, placed his hands on them, and blessed them. Jesus is actively demonstrating to not only his disciples in this moment, to us that all read it today, children are important. That if we as adults want to enter the kingdom of God, we must challenge our inner child. Many children in here, I'm sure, look at their parents and grandparents and say, "I can't wait to grow up. I know I did. I couldn't wait to drive a car. I couldn't wait to go off to college. I couldn't wait to gain responsibilities. I couldn't wait to have my first phone." But I'm telling you, don't rush it, because I'm sure many of your parents would probably trade their 9-to-5 for your third grade classroom. Yes. Snacks and crafts sound a whole lot better than 9-to-5 deadlines. It sounds a whole lot better than hard work and taxes. And so to start our inner child to challenge us, I'm going to invite anyone. I have snacks over here. We have goldfish. We have fruit snacks. I have water in here. I have a ball pit here that you're more than welcome to sit and play in. And then I have sticky notes and crayons and whatever's in that box to draw. Now, I want to challenge the kids in here before they get up and come and grab snacks and things. I want this sanctuary, by the end of my message, to look like a classroom, which usually means there's artwork on the wall. So I've given you sticky notes on purpose. You can draw as many sticky notes as you want, but feel free to share with others. Draw notes, write scripture, whatever you want, a doodle, grab it, draw it, and then stick it anywhere you'd like in the sanctuary. If you get in trouble, tell them to blame me. I will take the blame for you. So I invite any kids, come on up, come grab a snack. There's goldfish, fruit snacks, water. Come play in the ball pit. Come draw a sticky note and cover the walls of our sanctuary. And I understand I'm going to keep preaching as I go. Have fun. Come sit on the stage with me. But this is what church looks like. Utter chaos. And it's truly a beautiful sight. I would much rather have a church look like this in utter chaos that's loud, noisy. Please grab one snack, by the way, goldfish and a fruit snack. That way everyone can have some. But this is what church looks like. When Jesus says, come and let the kids be a part of the kingdom, this is exactly what he's talking about. I would rather have a church full of joy, chaos, and feet moving around than one that's dead and lifeless. And if you still think this isn't important, I'd push you to Matthew 19, 13 through 15, where Matthew retells the same exact story of Mark, where people brought little children to Jesus, and they placed hands on them and prayed for him, but the disciples once again rebuked them. Jesus says, come and let the little children come to me. Do not hinder them, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these. When he placed his hand on them and he went on from there, he prayed for each and every one of these kids. And I hope as you see these kids eat and draw and have fun that you are praying for each and every one of them. I hope you look at these kids and say, this is what church looks like. And I hope church tastes pretty good, like goldfish and stuff. And as leaders in this church, whether you're an appointed leader like a pastor, a small group leader, or you just lead your family or those around you in a sphere of influence, we have to challenge our inner child. Children can be described as many things. In a negative connotation, sometimes we might say they're annoying, they're loud. We teach them to walk and talk until we tell them to sit down and be quiet. But I would rather you look at these kids as innocent. They have wonder, their dependence, their ability to forgive one another. They trust each other. And that's what it took for sports and upwards to work this season. Cheerleaders this year, if you didn't come, were lifting each other up. And those cheerleaders standing on top of that tower had to trust those underneath them. They had to trust Coach Megan to teach them how to do it. If you've ever been around a little kid, they probably ask a lot of questions. Why? Right? But why? And usually you end up saying, because I said so, and that's usually not good enough for them. But as people are challenging and changing our inner selves to be little kids, we must ask these questions. We must renounce a title. One of my favorite things of Upwards is each and every week, if you come to a game, if you're a player or a cheerleader, your name gets to be announced. You get to run out this tunnel full of cheerleaders, and you get cheered on for who you are in your name. It is not a title of a position you play in basketball. There is not a senior positionship or captainship on the cheerleading team, but rather, all we care about is that you are here and your name is being called. All that their importance is you. There is no title that puts you above others. There is no title that puts one kid above the other. Rather, we must do the same. We as adults like to think ourselves as our titles. Whether it be you went to school for something or you've worked 30 years to earn this title of senior partner or whatever that may be. And a lot of times we introduce ourselves as our title first. Most of the time I'm guilty of this too. I introduce myself as Pastor Josh. That is my title before myself, my God-given name. And in that, I'm saying of importance. I get paid to play dodgeball, which is kind of crazy. But rather, I introduce myself to my teens as just Josh. I don't require them to call me Pastor Josh. I'm not a stickler about that. If they want to, they can, but there's no forced agenda there because I want to be part of them. I don't address them as their titles, but their names that they want. And this provides an equal opportunity for all of us to be children of God. We must welcome each other in the church, just as I've welcomed these kids on the stage and the chaos that it brings, but it's amazing. Hopefully you see more and more sticky notes. Feel free to spread out the sticky notes, guys. I see a lot of bare walls by these back people. People who sit in the back tend to be uncomfortable, so you can go and stick one near them. I'm that type of person. There's a lot of walls over here, guys, that are bare, right? We've covered that wall, but let's spread it out. Because if you didn't know, we have a preschool here. And their hallway is covered in names and crafts that they do throughout the year. And that's what I want here. We see in Matthew 18, a chapter before, that the disciples asked Jesus a question. Who then is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? He calls to a little children and places the children among them. And Jesus says, truly I tell you, unless you change and become like these little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever takes a lowly position as of a child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoever welcomes such a child in my name welcomes me. We as a church have to cultivate this kind of connection. We as a church have to cultivate a welcoming of chaos. I understand for many of us, it can be stressful. There can be anxiety. There can be uneasiness. And of course, we must teach our kids when to be respectful. We must teach our kids how to do this stuff. But I love chaos. I thrive on chaos. And maybe that's why I'm a youth pastor. But all are welcome into the kingdom. And so if you are not of child age, you are more than welcome to come up and put sticky notes everywhere and channel your inner child. Ask a child to share a sticky note with you and a crayon. But truly I tell you, we must encompass this. This is church. This is a church that is alive. This is a church that celebrates our kids. And I know a lot of time when I preach, I say it's my favorite Sunday. And most of the time, though, if you look at the theme, it's a family Sunday. It's when kids are in church. It's when kids and people celebrate together, where we get to worship together. We get to hear the same message and talk about it on our ride home. This is church. And we see it in Luke 18, 15 through 17. He tells us the same story. People also bring babies to Jesus for him to place his hands on them. When disciples saw this, they rebuked them. But Jesus called to the children and said, let the little children come. Do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Truly I tell you, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God is like a little child who will never enter it. I want to encourage this. I understand some of this is hard for us. I understand some of you are sitting there stressed out. You might be sitting in the hallway right now. But I truly want to challenge your heart today and challenge you to God work on your heart to be soft for these kids. Because this is the future. You say you want to grow young. You say you want to be a church and have the next generation be full of Christ followers. This is what it looks like. This is the silly things that it takes. So I have 3 points for you today. Genuine faith requires curiosity and questions. It requires, why am I doing this, right? Why allow this to happen? Because they're laughing. They're having a phenomenal time. And they love it. And it drives curiosity of, what does a church look like? This is unconventional, and I know it. But why not? Why not have a church full of kids running around, willing to laugh, willing to celebrate their faith with one another? My second point is, Jesus wants you to be his children. And he is our heavenly Father, and that requires a relationship. Each and every one of these kids today did not drive themselves here, but rather they had a relationship with a parent, a grandparent, an aunt, an uncle, someone that said, I'm taking you to church today. And maybe it was because they're getting a prize and celebrating upwards. Maybe it's because just what the family does. But someone said, I'm bringing these kids to church today. And that calls a relationship. And just like if we want to be children of God, we must have a relationship with the Father. We must say, this is a church I want to be a part of. This is a relationship I want to be a part of. I want this genuine laughter. A lot of these kids are giggling and laughing, and it's because they have joy in their heart. I think a lot of times as adults, we forget that we have joy. Joy is not a feeling. Joy is not something that fades, but it sustains us through it all. It sustains us on why we do what we do. It sustains us on why we're reffing. It sustains us when we're coaching kids and they won't listen. It sustains us when they're putting sticky notes all over you trying to distract you, right? And we must have a relationship with the Father. And if you're asking yourself, what do I have to do? What do I have to do to have this relationship with God? All he asks is, Jesus says, come and play. Jesus says, I want you to be a part of this. Come to me, and I will not let anyone stop you. All you have to do is say, Jesus, I want a relationship with you. I want to be a part of this. I want to ask questions. I want to be curious about what you're going to do in my life. I want to know what you're going to do in each and every one of these kids' lives. As Coach Joe Merchant said numerous times, these kids are going to do great things. And you might think of them and look at them now and say, what in the world is going on? But I truly tell you that these are the kids going to spread the kingdom of God. These are the kids that are going to impact Baker City and further out for Jesus. And you can be a part of that. You're called to be one of these children up here. You're called to put sticky notes places. You're called to impact those. You're called to just blurt out the word of Christ when it comes to you. If you've ever taught kids ever, you know a kid will shoot up their hand when you ask them a question. You can't wait for them to answer the question. And then they tell you about some random sleepover that has nothing to do with the lesson. But that requires us to go into the world and have the same type of love and joy for Christ as these kids giggle and have a joyous time. And so I want to invite you into this time. Kids, I ask that you all just sit where you are real quick for me. We're going to get serious real quick. Okay, so grab a seat. But I'm going to invite you into a relationship with Christ. I'm going to invite you to have that relationship, to be a child and know your Heavenly Father. So these altars are open, not only for these kids, but for you as adults, because we're supposed to have a childlike faith. I want to invite you into a relationship. And so we're going to get ready to pray. You can pray where you are. You can ask God into your heart wherever you are. It does not have to be in this building. But the altar is a place where you can kneel, a place where things are silent, even in all this chaos. And so I invite you, if you want that relationship, if you look at these kids and say, I want the joy that these kids have. I want to be a part of the kingdom of God that is happy, that is energy, that is on fire for Christ. I invite you to do this prayer. So kids, I'm going to pray real quick. So I'm going to ask that you stop tossing balls real quick. I'm going to ask that you're silent for 20 seconds, all right? Does that sound good to you guys? All right, I'm going to pray a prayer. And if you want a relationship, repeat it out loud if you'd like. Repeat it in your heart, but Christ will know. And I want to remind you, if you make that commitment today, I would like to know, Pastor Troy would like to know, Pastor Barb would like to know, Pastor Lenny would love to know. Because we want to help you with next steps. Like I said, these children aren't here by accident. They needed help. They needed a team. They didn't score any points or assists this year by themselves. Rather, they played with a team. And so we want to come around you and say, if you want to be a child of God, we want to help you. We want to raise the spiritual babies into grown adults that are constantly out in the world. So would you just bow your heads with me? And if you want to accept this prayer, just repeat after me in your heart or in out loud. Dear Jesus, I realize that I'm a sinner. I realize I have strayed away from you, but I want to be a child of God. I want to be a part of your family. I realize I've messed up. And I want Jesus in my heart, Lord. Please forgive me for my mistakes. Forgive me for my sins. And help me cultivate a relationship with you. Help me grow in a relationship with you, Lord. Let me have this joy, this laughter, this chaos that these kids have. And I thank you, Lord, in all your heavenly name, and all God's people said, amen. And if you, again, if you made that commitment today, I would love to know, Pastor Troy would love to know, Pastor Barb would love to know, Pastor Lenny would love to know, or a trusted Christian friend in your life, because we would love to know it makes you get to church each and every week.